Okay, we're going to think about the church and small groups. As we sort of come to the end of the summer, small groups and things in the church will be starting up. So I thought it'd be useful for us to have a little think about this and why we do small groups, and perhaps you're not part of a small group and perhaps you are. So this morning we're going to be hearing some from people who run or are part of small groups. So they're going to sort of share some of their experience with you partway through what we're saying. For me, really, the point of small groups is to develop deep-rooted relationships. It's about growing closer to God and doing that together, but also developing closer relationships with each other, which we're not always able to do so readily in a whole body of people on a Sunday. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 20, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." So there is that sense of coming together and finding mutual support with one another. Small group could be 10, 12. It might actually just be two or three people who get together and talk together and pray together. There's no sort of definite numbers on a small group. Just start with a little story. It can never be said that Adele's neighbours were not helpful. When her front lawn grew up to thigh level, they decided that they'd ask one of the boys in the neighbourhood if he would go around and mow it down and get the grass back down to a sensible level to help her out. When her pipes froze and burst, they helpfully turned off the water while it was sorted out. When eventually the mail spilled out of her letterbox, they decided they ought to call the police. The only thing that they didn't do was go and check and see how Adele was. She wasn't doing well at all. She was dead. Police finally broke into the side door of the house and found what they believed to be her remains. They had been there perhaps as long as 4 years. "It's not really a friendly neighbourhood," said Eileen, 70, once a close friend of Adele's. "Her house was just 20 feet from the dead woman's house. I'm as much to blame as anyone," she said. "I knew she was alone and needed someone to talk to, but I was doing two jobs and was tired of her coming over all the time. I eventually stopped answering the door." Do we find ourselves saying, "Well, that's just unbelievable. How can people be so disconnected? How can somebody die and others not know about it?" But actually, the reality is that we live in a very disconnected, isolationist society. We may be technically advanced, but we appear to have lost the art of face-to-face conversation with people. We might contact people a bit on Facebook if we're into that or not. But where is the sense of community? I believe that God never intended it to be that way, but that he intended us to live in community with each other. Right back in the Old Testament, in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now, it's not for everybody to be in a marriage relationship. That's right for some people, but not for everybody. But God did, I believe, make us to be relational with each other, to be a community, to be supportive of each other. But if we're honest, it's not possible, is it, to have a close relationship with everyone, even in a church like this. There are some people you kind of probably know well, and you might tend to veer towards them on a Sunday morning. You might sit with them after and have a cup of coffee. There might be people that you particularly struck up a friendship with. But I think it would be hard for any of us to say, well, I know everybody in the fellowship really well, and I'm supporting them all. That's just not practical. It's not possible. Back in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were broken down into tribes, and within those tribes there were clans, and within those clans there were families. And that's the nature of things, isn't it? That things break down into smaller groups. There have always been small groups. And of course, Jesus famously had a small group of his own, didn't he? He chose 12 disciples to have a small group with. He couldn't possibly be dealing with every new believer and spending time with everyone and getting to know everything about them. So he chose these 12 men to really come close to him, that he could instruct, that he could develop, who could then go out and touch other people and form other small groups and to be trained by him. So he chose 12, didn't he, to have this close relationship with. Now, if we look at the early church, it soon took off, didn't it? It soon grew. We know that 3,000 people came to faith on the day of Pentecost. There were large numbers in the early church, quite rapidly. And we know that they gathered together at times in the temple courts. But for the most part, New Testament believers, groups of believers, meeting regularly together, where did they meet? In homes. In the intimacy of a small group, meeting within a home. Acts 2:46, the believers met in houses to break bread. The word there for house is oikos. Actually, their houses were like an extended family. They had open houses where people could go in and that they'd be that little group of believers together, where that they'd know each other intimately, where people could just come in and belong. We tend in the UK to kind of have like the Englishman's house is his castle and nobody comes past the door. That can be the tendency, can't it? This is my house, this is my space, this is where I get away from everybody else. And but really, as Christians, I think we should be looking to have open houses as much as we dare to be welcoming to one another, to have people come round for a meal, to share fellowship with each other. We can't do that with everybody in the church, but there we can surely do it with some people. And that's the kind of purpose of having small groups in the church, so that we can truly fellowship with each other. And we know that the teaching went on in these small groups, house by house as well. So the house church was an essential feature of the early Christian community. And many times in Paul's letter, he's speaking to the church that meets at so-and-so's house, to the church that meets at Aquila and Priscilla's house, 1 Corinthians, and in the book of Romans, the church in the book of Philemon, the church of Nympha in Laodicea, in the book of Colossians. And we could go on and on and on and on about the church that meets in so-and-so's house. Now, we might think, well, they were forced to meet in houses for fear of persecution. You know, that it was too dangerous, perhaps, to all come together. So they kind of met together secretly, and there might have been some element of that, We know similar things happened in Eastern Europe and during the communist days, where people had to meet in their homes kind of in secret. We know the same kind of thing happens today in places like China, where it's not always okay to kind of meet together as a big church, so people meet in houses. But I don't think we can just say that they met in houses because of persecution. No, this was the norm, to meet together in these small groups and to share their lives. Now, don't get me wrong, there is value in us all meeting as a big group. There is value in having a building like this, because interested people can know, oh, that's where the church meets. That's Stoke Green Baptist Church in this community. There are signs outside. If I'm looking for a church, I can easily see it and find it. So there is value in coming together like this. There's also value in being a large group in terms of our worship together. It can be tremendous, can't it? Just to be together as a large group to praise God. There's also the opportunity, because we're a larger fellowship, to employ people, to have someone come and to preach God's word to you, and to employ people like Daniel you'd struggle to do if you were a small group. So there's a value in being a larger group at points. But there's also a massive strength in being part of a small group, because it's much more intimate, isn't it? So I'm actually going to ask four people to come up and just share a little bit about their home groups and what they kind of get from them. I don't know what they're going to say, so I'm a little bit, you know, could be quite dangerous, but let's be a bit dangerous for once. So I'm going to ask Heidi, if she'll come first. Here is a little map of Stoke Green House Groups. Oh. So Michael and Brenda's group, yes. Yeah. Do you want to just... If I don't think you're saying the right things, I'll ask you some questions or something.
I didn't mention that last time. Yeah, I'm a member of Michael and Brenda's house group, and I think there are about a dozen or so of us in that group in total. And I've been going there for about 3 years, I think, but I could be wrong, I'm not good at maths. And in the past, I've also attended Brian and Mary's daytime group for a few years as well. Now, previous to this, I had no experience of house groups at all, so anything I say about my experience is all but just based on what on Stoke Green, so hopefully you've done a good job to impress me. But being in a house group has allowed me to get to know a few people much more than just having a quick chat over coffee after the Sunday service. And getting to know people helps you to feel less intimidated, shy, nervous, or whatever, about asking what might seem to you a bit of a silly question. Now, we ask a lot of questions in the house group, silly or not, but when you know people a bit more, you don't feel quite so silly asking a silly question. So that really does help you to feel more comfortable. Now, the Bible studies we do, they allow us to look at a passage, and we can see a passage of the Bible and see how we can apply that to our own lives and to our own faith. And they can be challenging as well as comforting. And sometimes there'll be the question that we're looking at about a particular verse, whatever, and I look at it and I think, I haven't got a clue. I don't know what this is. I don't know what the answer is. But there's always somebody in the group who will have some idea, some thought about something, and they'll say something and somebody else will say something. And we'll work through it together and we will come up with some sort of an answer. And hopefully it's an answer that's right for us, you know, for us as the individuals or as a group. Now, I would say that house groups are for everyone, whether you are new on your Christian journey and have those apparently silly questions, or if you've been a Christian and studying the Bible for years because you have so much to share with others. And of course, everybody else in between, we've all got things to share, we've all got questions. So, you know, if you are not a member of a house group, I would encourage you to at least give one a go and see if it is your thing. I wasn't sure if it was my thing to start with, but, you know, I look forward to every other Wednesday evening, I really do. And if something crops up and I can't make it, then I get a bit disappointed. because if nothing else, we do get excellent biscuits.
Brilliant advert, love it, love it. No, I'm not going to ask you any questions. That was superb, brilliant, thank you. Now, Brian, no, wrong one. I'm going to ask Sandy to come up. Sorry, Brian, if you can just wait a minute, thanks. Sandy's back from holiday, and Sandy is kind of leading Christine, the group that meets at Christine's house.
Yes, I lead the house group that meets at Christine Meyer's home, and there are about 9 of us, and we're all varying backgrounds and various stages of our walk with God. And what I found really valuable about house group, I don't regard myself as the leader, we actually work together and we share together and we can ask questions together and have really good discussions about the studies that we're doing. And also what's really important for me at house group is that we know each other, and in that small group there might be people there that actually don't want to share what's going on in their lives in a larger group like this. And so within house group people can share their hopes, their fears, their struggles, and they know that it will be kept within that very small group. And so we're really able to pray into each other's situations, and that is a real blessing in our house group, that we not only study together, we pray together. And the wonderful thing is that our group, it's a mix of Christians from first beginnings right on to really mature Christians. And the wonderful joy for me is that people pray. And that really does my heart pray, because I know that in big groups, it can be quite difficult. And I can only share from my own experience how important house groups are. When I became a Christian over 30-odd years ago, I came to Sunday worship. And I was invited to a house group, and it was Mary and Brian's. And when I first went along, I thought, I don't know anything. These people seem to just know God so well. He's here in this room. And I felt really strange to begin with, but I persevered. And with their help and encouragement, I could ask questions and I could begin to grow and develop my gifts and talents that God had given to me. Because I don't honestly think that coming on a Sunday, I'd have discovered what those gifts and talents were. The teaching was always good, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't actually ask questions and say, well, this is me, this is what I've got. What on earth can I do for God? And in that group, I found my niche, if you like, within the church, and I could serve God using those gifts. And so I would recommend house group to anybody. It's a place where you can grow, where you can encourage one another, and we just have that lovely time of fellowship. Our group also sings. We worship right at the beginning because that's what I love to do. So we sing without music. Sometimes it's a bit difficult if I've forgotten the tune of a song, but we do have a jolly good old go at worship at the beginning of our house groups. And so I do recommend it to anybody. If you're thinking, is it for me? It's a lovely place to be. It's intimate, it's a small group, and you can actually share without fear of somebody else hearing about it that you really didn't want them to hear about. So it's a small, intimate group where we worship, study, and most importantly, pray together. And at the end of our house group, for a lot of our house group, the end bit is the important bit. They have cake as well. So we have a really good time at our house group. But it is the worship, the study, and the prayer that really are the key aspects of the house group.
Thank you. Marvellous. So Michael and Brenda's meets on a Wednesday evening. Yours meets on a Thursday evening. but Brian, if he's coming up, their group meets on... Come on. You can come this time. This group meets in the daytime. It's not for everybody to get out to an evening meeting. So some people find it easier to meet in the daytime. You meet on Thursdays, don't you? You're not always the same week as everybody else.
No, we have one member who goes to another group on a Thursday, so we try to fit our Thursday with her so that she can go to our other group.
And when, what time do you meet?
We meet at 10:30.
10:30 in the morning. And that actually takes place here in the church rather than in someone's house, but it's kind of a home group but in a church. So.
The trouble is we haven't got a house big enough with a room big enough to cater for all of us, so it's easier to...
And sometimes it's good to have it at the church where people can get to easily. So I'll let you chat.
As Sandy said, she came to our house group, and that's where she learned about house groups. When Mr. Harris was here, in 1984, Billy Graham came to Ipswich. And after he'd come, Mr. Harris said to me, Mary, would you run a nurture group? And I thought, run a nurture group? Me? I never thought about running a group. But I took over that, and it developed from a nurture group to a house group. And I'll tell you what, when I first started the house group, I was a terrible house group leader. Used to wave my finger at people, tell them what to do. And wow. But I gradually learned that you need to relate to people and learn about them and find out what they want, how they like to be. And within our group, we have a number of people who prefer to come out in the morning rather than in the evening. That's the reason why we hold that way. We do all the same things as everybody else, apart from the fact we don't sing. But we do enjoy ourselves. I'll tell you what, we have some good laughs. We do have some good laughs. In fact, Ian came in and he said, I don't know what's going on in here. But that is the thing. God wants us to have a good time together and to have a laugh, but also to learn what it is that he wants to tell us. A lot of the house groups are left for me to sort out. Often I say to them, what shall we do now? And I get no replies, so I have to organise something for them. But I think they do enjoy the time together. And it's a blessing to each and every one of us that we learn to live with one another and accept one another. So thank you very much.
It was pointed out to me this morning that there's one group that meets that we might not be aware that meets, and that is really the musicians. That they come here and practice on a Friday evening, and actually, in a sense, you're a little house group on your own, so sorry if I've kind of... but they do have that sense of community and support for each other, I know, in that. But
Do a lot of singing
and no cake. Oh dear, that's no good. Perhaps the newest group is the one that meets at our house, which is for 18s to 30s. So I fit in really well. No. So Millie is going to come and just tell you a little bit. I dread to think what Millie's going to say.
That's fine. I'll ask
you
a few questions after this.
All right.
So when I was asked to talk about our Thursday group, I must admit, I was a bit stumped because I didn't know really what to say. So naturally, I started to think. I was like, what do I like about our group? And I was like, well, one thing popped into my head, and that was Raquel provides us with some lovely food beforehand. Then I came to a dead end. I then realised I love our group because we can all talk about anything. For instance, one time we were talking about the fear of not mattering, and for me, that's not really something that I worry about. And so I sat there and I was like, well, this is going to be a long one. So I sat back and was just listening to the conversation. And then a few seconds later, I realised, actually, I've got a few things to say here, and so I could chip in, and that's why I love our group. There's any topic, and we can all talk about it.
Thank you. No, that's great. Marvellous. Thank you. So hopefully that kind of gives you a little bit of flavour of what the groups are. Now, I'd love to see more people attend house groups, so at the end I'll come back to it, but I'd like for you to go away and think about it, or sign up and say I'd like to go to a house group, even if you don't know exactly which group to go to. If you can put your names down, then we'll have a discussion about what group fits you, or we might have to start another group. That would be nice, wouldn't it? If we had to expand things. So you present us some problems, okay? Because I know, like, some of the groups are, you know, they've got fairly good numbers going along, and they might kind of think, well, how do we take anybody else? But it's about thinking about it and making sure that anybody who wants to go to a house group and who wants to be part of it can do, and that we seek to provide that. So that's what we're planning to do. Just another little story. In 72 BC, there's this TV series from 2004 that's set in 72 BC with this guy called Spartacus. And Spartacus follows the adventures of a former slave who leads an army of freed slaves against the tyrannical Roman Empire. And in one scene, Spartacus and his followers are hiding out in a secluded forest because the Roman army is hunting them down. And Spartacus says, the time has come for decisive action. But his followers are unsure of what to do. One man, Crixus, says, I go where I go. No man tells Crixus what to do anymore. So Spartacus calls for Crixus to come and stand next to him. This is Crixus, the goal, he says. Maybe the strongest man among us. But he's still only one man. And Spartacus hands Crixus a single arrow. And he says, can you bend this? And Crixus easily bends it, breaks it, and throws it on the ground. Then Spartacus hands Crixus a bunch of arrows that are bound together and says, now break all of these. Crixus takes the arrows, but he's unable to break them because they're so tightly bound together. And eventually he throws the bundle on the floor in frustration. We are like the arrows, Spartacus says. On our own, we are weak. But together, we're invincible. Yes, the crowd cries, and they go on to take on the Romans. And to me, that's kind of a little bit of a picture of what it means to have true fellowship and to be together, supporting one another. Together, we are stronger. On our own, it's a struggle, isn't it, in this world? It's a struggle to live for Christ. It's a struggle against Satan and his temptations. But together, in community, we're stronger. I just want to read some verses from Ephesians chapter 2. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So I believe part of God's plan for us here is that we might form an authentic community, to be a church family. And actually, to be in a family is to share everything, isn't it? It's to share the good stuff and the bad stuff. That's what our human families are like. We go through good times together, we face the struggles together. And we have to face facts that what we do as a church on a Sunday isn't really geared towards building those relationships with each other. We come to Sunday for instruction. We come on a Sunday to worship together. We might have a short time chatting together over a coffee afterwards. But are we really building a sense of belonging to each other and a sense of community? And to me, that's what the small groups are all about. There are many types of small groups. We've talked about the kind of official small groups, But the prayer meeting, when we have that every other week, feels like a small group, doesn't it? You know, we might have a slightly different emphasis, particularly on prayer, but there is that sense of belonging together as a small group there. We've run from time to time, like the Christianity Explore groups, for people inquiring about Christian faith. And I'd be really happy to do something like that again, because we can't assume that everyone here is a Christian. But there might be people who want to find out more about Christian faith, who want to explore what it means to be a Christian. So nothing would please me more than to have another small group working on that and looking together at the fundamentals of the faith. Sometimes women come together as a group. We have a prayer breakfast, don't we? Again, on a Saturday morning. And in another sense, that's like another small group. And even as our children go out to age-appropriate lessons, as they normally do, then they're in small groups, aren't they? They're with their peers. They're with people who are facing the same issues, and the teaching and things are directed appropriate to the age that they are. How are we doing for time? Why don't people attend? I wonder if you could give me some reasons why people don't attend. Well, here's one. It's a commitment, isn't it? It is a commitment. It's time that you have to allocate to go. And I know people live busy lives. But what I want to say to you is that if you're part of a home group and you don't get along regularly, I'm sure your home group leaders would rather that you come sometimes than never. So, you know, even if you kind of think, well, I don't know if I could commit every time, every fortnight to go along, it's still a blessing to go when you're able to go. Fear of weird people. It's all right, there's room for one more. We're all a bit weird, to be honest. And home groups, you know, you sometimes think, wow, didn't expect them to be like that. Or, wow, I'm just shocked by the things that people are saying. But actually, it is about just learning from one another. As you spend more and more time with people and get to know them, you start to understand what makes them tick. And perhaps they're not quite as weird as you thought they were. Perhaps people don't go because there's a fear of vulnerability. Because really, if a home group's functioning properly, you should be able to get to the point where, and I heard it mentioned, we can share anything between us that we might not share with the whole church as a whole, but we're able to truly love and support each other through our struggles, where we take down this mask that everything's all right all the time, and where we're just honest with one another and say, you know, I'm really struggling in this area, there's this problem in my family. You can't do that as a big church, but you can hopefully build that trust with each other where you feel you can share anything with people. There might be a fear of breaking into the middle of something, you know, like a group's been established a long time and, ooh, I don't know if I want to go in there because they've always all been together. But groups should never be entrenched forever, you know, and time does move on and things do change and groups start and groups break up, and that's okay, you know. So if it means that there's suddenly a lot more people who want to do home groups, we'll look at it and we'll try and involve everybody who wants to be involved. And sometimes there's a fear of cliques and factions, and this has happened in churches where you know, one little home group gets together and they're moaning about something that's going on in the church, and they're all of a similar mind, and they start to upset each other. Or even sometimes, occasionally, churches have broken off and started other churches because they don't fit in with everybody else. And we've got to be careful with those things. That's up to us as a leadership to be careful with the people who are appointed as leaders, and that the home group doesn't just become a church in its own right, but it remains part of the larger fellowship. This is a quote by John Wimber of the Vineyard Group of Churches, who grew churches upon churches upon churches on the basis of home groups. And he said this: show me where you spend your time, money and energy, and I'll tell you what you worship. What do we spend our time, our money, our energy on? What things, you know, do we find the time for to do? Should we be finding time for each other? Should we be finding time to spend with each other to develop this community? Because this is actually how this church will grow. Yes, great when we come together, but it also is really dependent on us really knowing and loving and wanting to be together and supporting each other. And part of that is having home groups. Why should I attend? I think all the people who've spoken have given you reasons. Small groups promote true friendship, not just a superficial friendship. Small groups provide opportunity for conversation, for a discussion, to ask questions. You can't do that on a Sunday, at least you haven't started going, can I just ask? Don't mind if you do, but it's unlikely. But within the context of a small group, you can ask those questions that seem silly. You learn to trust and you learn to share. Small groups help us grow our knowledge together and to learn from each other's experiences that you can share. Well, this is what happened to me, and this can't do that on a Sunday in the same way. Small groups allow us to share our lives, to really promote empathy, and to help us not feel so alone, and to realise that others are actually facing a lot of the same issues and challenges in their lives. Maybe not exactly the same ones, but we're all facing issues and challenges, and we can be so blessed by working together. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, that he is in the midst of them. So I do want to encourage you to think about joining home groups if you don't attend one. So as I said, I will have a little board here. I'm not going to come round individually and go, so are you coming? I could do that, but this will be out near the coffee bar. And so if you have already thought this morning, you know, I really would like to attend a home group, then please sign it and I'll have a conversation with you and we'll try and find what is the appropriate home group or whether we need to start more home groups. But we'd love for you to join. I won't be here next Sunday, but it will still be out next Sunday as well. So it's prayer meeting this week. Home groups will start on Thursday week. So I will catch up with you before then, and we'll try and find something for you to be a part of. Okay? Brilliant. Thank you.